Yeah, I think John was right. I didn't think about that until I just read it. He exhorted them in other ways rather than saying, hey, you're going to go to hell. That's what he was saying, unquenchable fire. You're going to get in. You know, there's better ways to motivate people than to tell them they're going to go to hell. So he figured that one out. Doesn't motivate anybody. Not these days, anyways. Anyhow, this day, the liturgy communicates, if you haven't figured it out, all the readings, joy, joy, joy. It's all about rejoicing. As I said, Gaudete Sunday. But again, it's within a context, isn't it, that we celebrate. And what goes on around us and what's happening in our lives. So how do you deal with loss and death and destruction and evil and all of that in your life? And how do you maintain a sense of joy in your life through it all? I think we all maybe have different ways of dealing with it. And one thing I like is humor. I like a joke. So if something bad happens to me, just tell me some jokes. That'll make me happy in a way, but maybe I'll share a little humor with you this morning. A couple were always fascinated by old churches whenever they traveled. So they had stopped, and they would look inside the old churches that they went to. So one, they were in a small town, a small church. They saw this oddly shaped bell. And they weren't quite sure what it was for and what it was used for. So they asked the person who was cleaning the church about this strange-looking bell and what it was used for. And they were told that it was reserved for calamities, such as perhaps earthquakes or tornadoes or fires or floods or a visit from the bishop. Well, good, you're there, good. You know, if laughter really was the best medicine, laughter's the best medicine, don't you think that if it really was, that hospitals would have found a way to charge us for it? When I was growing up, back in the Boston area, my father told my brother and I don't want you, when you go into the big city, I don't want you going into any of those clubs. Stay away from them, because they're no good, and I don't want you seeing what's in them. Well, as soon as I was 16 and had my driver's license, I was into Boston, about 20 miles from Salem, where I was brought up, to see what this is all about. And did I see some things that I shouldn't have saw? You bet. I saw my father. That's not true. But I did go to one of my clubs with my father when I was old enough. But anyhow, that's beside the point. Those days are gone. Let's just get back to what I'm supposed to be talking about here. Laughter fades away. But there's something that lasts, that sustains us in life. And laughter won't, but it's joy that sustains us. Joy goes deeper than laughter, than pleasure. It's not a passing thing. We heard the prophet today, Zephaniah, in that first reading, and telling God's people, and go read what's happening around this time in history to God's people. And Zephaniah, the prophet, this is a very difficult time for the people, worse than we have it today even, perhaps. And he's telling the people there to sing for joy. To sing for joy. And that's a good thing to do. Singing is a good thing to do, to pick your spirits up. One of my spiritual directors, when I was in religious life, told me, get yourself down, sing in the shower. You know, just sing. That brings you out of your doldrums and out of your dumps, and it'll bring you up, because you can't be singing and be in a bad mood. So go in your car and turn on your radio and sing along with the music, or find a way to sing. So he tells them, sing for joy. They should sing for joy, not because things are wonderful. They weren't wonderful. But why should they sing? Why? You heard what the answer was. Why should they sing? Because God was in their midst. That's why. God is in our midst, always in our midst. And that's the only reason why we can sing. And when we heard Paul, now Paul here is in prison, and he's telling the Philippians to rejoice always, always rejoice. I'll say it again, he says. The scriptures give us a different idea about joy than our culture gives us about joy. Our culture tells us, oh yeah, you can have joy, just buy things, it'll make you happy, it'll make you joyful. Well, that's partly true for a while, that might give you pleasure. But scripture tells us that joy comes from, yes, what we have, which is God in our midst, but we also comes from what we will have in the future. Something that we can trust in, because God will be faithful to his promise. So our future is one of the fullness of peace and joy and love. Now, in the few minutes I have left, let me name some of the things that I believe keeps us from having joy. One thing that keeps you from having joy, and that is feeling sorry for yourself. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself. Another thing is constantly putting other people down. Talking about others. You know? Putting others down. Trying to make yourself look better, smarter. Putting yourself down all the time. It's not good. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all do wrong. And there are healthy ways to deal with guilt or shame, but constantly beating oneself up is certainly not one of them. So never beat yourself up. Another thing, holding on to anger or resentment. That's not going to bring you joy. That's going to bring you down. It only eats you up inside of yourself, and it does not produce joy. We must forgive. Forgiveness brings joy. And then thinking that having more things is going to make us happy doesn't bring joy. Again, it satisfies us momentarily, but not in the long run. And then there's fear and worry, anxieties. Paul says, have no anxieties at all. Well, that sounds impossible. But there are so many things that cause us anxiety in our life, which we can do nothing about, and we only can leave in the hands of God. And so whatever it is that's causing it, give it to God. Hand it over. Don't carry it around with you. If self-pity, unforgiveness, guilt, anger, resentment, fear, worry, work against having joy, then what are the things that lead to joy? I'll be short here. You must decide to be joyful. It's a decision. Paul tells the Philippians, he says, rejoice as if it's something for them to choose rather than it being something that just happened to them. It's a choice that you can make. I think it was Abraham Lincoln. Now, there's a great movie if you've ever seen Lincoln. But I think it was Abraham Lincoln, and I don't believe it was in the movie that I saw that he said this. But I think he's the one who said that most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. It's a mind game more than anything else, no matter what's happening outside of you. I think Dr. Hans Silvey, I think that's how you say it, he was a scientist who developed and researched the concept of stress, I think he would totally agree with that statement. In fact, the doctor said this. He said, it's generally not the things outside of us that cause stress for us, but it's the way that we respond to the things outside of us. So you see, it really all comes down to your interpretation of what's happening around you. And I've said this 1,000 times, you know, you can have two people experiencing the same thing, the same experience, and two different responses to it. Why? Because of how the people interpret it. Nothing has any meaning whatsoever save the meaning that you give to it. Think about that. Nothing has meaning save the meaning that you give to it. And next, we need to be good. We need to give. Receiving, fine. But giving brings joy. Otherwise, we don't feel good about ourselves. The people in today's gospel asked the Baptist, what should we do? Well, John gave them some specific advice. All we have to do, read the Gospels. Read the life of Christ. Read about the saints. And you'll get the idea that there's more to the good life than just saying, I believe. And lastly, I'll end with this. I think gratitude is the final key to unlock the way to joy. And again, being grateful is an intentional thing. It's an attitude of mind. You choose to be grateful. St. Paul says, in everything, by prayer, petition, thanksgiving, make your request known to God. A heart that is ungrateful is not happy. Most of the people I know that are unhappy aren't grateful at all. This is not all that could be said about joy, but I think it's enough for you to think about. My closing words for today are, don't make yourself so anxious this season, in the next 10 days or whatever, that you lose the joy that can be found only in knowing God's presence and love in your life. Stay centered. Know that God is with you, in you, closer to you than your own breath. That in fact, God is guarding God's self in you. And so, I think in the end, joy comes knowing what I speaked about last week, knowing that you're saved and your destiny is to be in reunion with God, where peace, joy, and love are without end.